The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent, is with us for our weekly money spot. And a few things to talk about. You're a big fan of the credit unions, aren't you?
I think more
people should be using them. So tell us about this finding that they're now the cheapest lenders for those seeking a mortgage.
Yeah, make no apologies for promoting the credit unions. They have a great ethos. They give money back to their members, who are the owners, eventually shareholders. They're locally based. They're friendly. They have branches, they have offices. You know, when you put all the credit unions in the country, they have more offices than all the bank branches combined, you know. So it really is a service that's everywhere.
But do they let people know this?
They don't shout about it enough. I don't think they do enough. Now, they're getting it together on mortgages, which is an interesting one, because it's a new departure for them, because it's a tough sell to get people to take out personal loans, and that is essentially what they have been doing for years, and they haven't been able to grow enough on that. So this is a branching out for them, offering mortgages, and they have turned out to be, by a good bit, a lot cheaper than going to a bank. The official figures for banks, the official mortgage rate, not the official rate, but, you know, the average rate in the market, according to the central bank, is about 4.3% if you're going to go through a bank, a fixed rate. Credit unions, far cheaper, about 3.7%. Now, over a year, on, say, about a 200 grand mortgage, which is typically the size of one taken out in a credit union, that's a saving of more than €700. So much cheaper. You get the one-to-one service, friendly service. They don't all offer mortgages, but they can refer you to another one.
What will a 200 grand mortgage get you other than in rural Ireland?
Well, the thing is, Matt, a lot of that there is people who are coming to an end of a mortgage and they switch it over to the credit union from a bank. That's a lot of what people do.
So it's not actually younger people looking for first-time mortgages, is it?
It can often
be older people taking advantage of the fact that they've paid off a lot of their loan, can move over to the credit union at a cheaper rate for the balance of their mortgage.
Balance of mortgage and get away maybe from a variable rate or something, you know, and they prefer the credit union, they want to give the business to the credit union. It is cheaper, so there's lots of reasons why they want to do it. There's a lot of that happens, you know, or maybe a top-up or something. Because first-time buyers, they'd be borrowing close to €300,000. I mean, you know.
But do you have to, before you get a mortgage with the credit union, have an established track record with them if saving? Because I remember, and this shows you how old I'm getting at this stage, but I remember getting first mortgage over 30 years ago. With the building society having to have a track record of saving for a period of time with them before they would give me a mortgage. Is it the same with the credit union now, that they will require you to have been a credit union member for a while, rather than coming in now off the street and saying, I want you to join a credit union and I want a mortgage from you?
That's certainly the way it used to be, Matt. You used to have a long track record of saving with a credit union before you even got a car loan, a small loan, relative to the size of a mortgage. But that's gone now. You can go, you can walk in and as long as you qualify to be a member of that credit union, you know, you have to fulfill the criteria of what they call a common bond. So either live in the area where that credit union operates, or if it's a work-based credit union, you work in that relevant company or whatever, and you know, you can then take out the mortgage. I mean, the difficulty people will have is maybe their local credit union, the one that's relevant to them, doesn't offer a mortgage. Because only 100 of them so far are offering mortgages. You need to be fairly sophisticated and you need to have it all sorted out as a credit union to offer mortgages, because it's a hell of a lot more difficult than offering a car loan. So the legislation has changed, and very soon credit unions that don't offer mortgages will be able to refer you to another one that does, so you won't lose out.
Okay, they say, you're a member here, we're not giving you the mortgage because we don't have the funds or whatever, but we'll recommend you to a different credit union which will sort you out.
Exactly, yeah. So they can refer on. So it that's a radical development.
Sorry, also, did you say, are they only doing fixed rate mortgages?
They do a lot of variables as well. And the difference with credit unions with a variable rate is they are not tied into the European Central Bank rate. They don't move with the central bank rate. They get their funding from savings. They very seldom change the variable rate, and they're not in any way influenced by where European rates are going. So that's a key difference now. Credit unions tend to be much cheaper than any other lender because of that.
Well, shouldn't people be wary now about taking on fixed rates at the moment? Because we good news today that European inflation is falling. This means the likelihood of an interest rate decrease in June must have improved. Even if it's only by a quarter of 1%, there's the potential of a succession of cuts between now and year end, maybe a 1% fall in interest rates, which would suggest don't fix now.
Yeah.
Go variable now and maybe fix next
later
year.
On. A lot of people, that's a smart move by people now. If you're coming to an end of a fixed rate, if you're taking out a new mortgage, just hang on for a while just to see where things are going to go. Because there was good news on Eurozone inflation today. It's heading back to where the European Central Bank wants to see it. It's within touching distance of their target of 2%. It's at 2.4%. So, you know, most economists now expect that from June on, the European Central Bank will start cutting rates. So we could have a string of rate cuts. By the end of the year, the what they call the refinance rate, which is the one used for tracker mortgages and for variable rates, that is 4.5% at the moment. Could be down to 3% by the end of the year.
Now, of course, that impacts on savers. Or does it really? Because have they been benefiting from higher interest rates, in many cases, depositors?
Not really. In a sense, in some way, yes, Matt. Like, look, there has been a shift out of, you know, savers have for a long time been just leaving money in current accounts and overnight accounts that where they're earning nothing, virtually nothing. You know, 0.13% or whatever is the average rate you'll get on overnight balances, they call it. But there's some interesting statistics kind of worked on by an independent economist, Simon Barry. And he found that about 6 billion euros in the last year has moved into higher interest rate accounts. All the banks, almost as a token gesture, have won at least one half-decent account. Now, they're only paying 2.5%. You'll get a better rate with Raisin or N26 or Bunk or some of these European-based institutions or Trade Republic. But at least the banks have some decent rates and some of the money is moving into these accounts. But still, Matt, 90% of the savings of households are still in accounts that are paying nothing. Those overnight accounts that I talk about. And there is 154 billion euros in savings. Not in my house, but some people seem to have a lot of money saved.
Okay, one other thing you want to talk about. And the vacant homes tax has raised how much money since it was introduced?
Raise a pittance, Matt, an absolute pittance. 2 million euros is all it raised. And, you know, ask any expert. I can't get the figure out of revenue, but ask anybody and they will tell you revenue will have spent more money administering this tax than they got back in it.
But why? Just there are pittance. Vacant properties all over the country. We all can see them wherever we walk or wherever we drive. You can see vacant properties.
This
so why have the owners not paid up the tax on it?
Complete head scratcher, Matt. I mean, if you look at the census figures, the census reckons there's 166,000 vacant properties. This tax was only imposed on 3,500 properties last year. 3,500, you know.
Why?
Why
so few?
When revenue started out, they talked, you know, they were talking about 50,000 properties maybe would be relevant to this. They then wrote to 25,000 euros. And in the end, they found 5,000 properties were liable, were vacant rather, and just 3,500 were liable. Because there's exemptions, Matt, because I'd say a lot, you know, you just wonder how, it's a self-administered tax, you'd wonder how honest some people are being, and there's too many exemptions, too many ways
to get out of this. The revenue chase people down for things like the local property tax. They make sure that people pay it. If they can be that good on the houses in which people are living, why can't get the money off from the owners of the houses in which people aren't living?
I think they will get on top of this. Now, this exercise has helped them put together a register of what they see as vacant homes. I think they'll start coordinating this and getting better data because, you know, otherwise this is just tokenistic and complete waste of time. 2 million euros is just a pittance. It's not anything near it. The idea of this thing is to encourage people to rent out or sell homes if they're not using them, if they're not occupied, and also to raise some money. But if you're only going to hit 3,500 houses and raise 2 million euros, it just seems like a waste of time, Matt.
Charlie Weston from the Irish Independent, personal finance editor. Thank you as ever.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.